This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
This is Harry Almy with The Goon Show. The crimes you are about to hear have been specially committed for this program.
Hi everyone, you're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows and more. I'm Asha Amma Asri, and let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. My name is Asha Amma Asri, and today I'm joined by a special guest, Harry.
It's me, Harry, back at it again, calling to you, dear listeners, from the deepest pits of the underworld.
You've got such a characteristic voice. I feel like even if people don't recognize you by your face, people will be able to recognize you by your voice.
Yes. And wouldn't you know about it, today we are talking about a radio program. And what you've just said does speak so much to the quality of those productions. It's all in the voice. Yep. Yep. Effortless.
All right. So you say a radio show. Tell me more. What's going on?
You know, it's just bog standard radio. It's only The Goon Show by Spike Milligan. The first professional rendition of the show live for theatre in Dunedin history.
Oh my God. That sounds like a lot of prestige. Unpack that.
Well, as you know, dear listeners, because of course I'm incredibly famous, I am a history student, so I've been through the ODT, I've been through the Hotkin, I've been through programmes of Fringe Past. This is the first professional rendition of The Goon Show by Spike Milligan. Why does that matter, you ask, dear listener? Who is Spike? Is he some sort of cactus?
Could be.
Well, Spike Milligan authored Bad Jelly the Witch, amongst other things, which you will have doubtless have heard of. And The Goon Show, well, ask your grandparents, dear listener. It is a famous, famous piece of work.
Okay, so that is such an introduction. I'm kind of like, I'm standing back a little bit like, wow, you had this prepared. It's so good. So you say that the older generation would know of this a lot more than the younger generation. And it seems like it's got quite a bit of prestige in it. You said it was the first ever, what did you say? First ever?
The production I've put on for the Fringe Festival is the first ever professional rendition of it. Yes.
Okay, I see. So Fringe Festival first. We'll push The Goon Show aside for a second.
Shove to the side off the cliff.
Sorry. No, you're poor actors. But what is the Fringe Festival? Never heard of it.
I know. I've never heard of it either. I've lived here since 2017 and I've not seen any flags flying about it.
No. There's definitely not a building in the Octagon that's said Fringe.
The Fringe Festival, dear listener, because it's understandable to not have heard of it, it is a straight, just chunky period in March in which it's just non-stop theatre, over 80 dedicated theatre productions for you.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Well, I should clarify, my brain is just completely theatre-pilled, but I should acknowledge there's a variety of formats. There's comedy. There's people busking in the square and asking for cohort donations. It's quite a variety.
Right. So basically it's going to be happening in March, and it's a lot of different art forms, essentially.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, it's so Dunedin's best.
Yeah, come and support Dunedin's best, as Harry says. Okay, so The Goon Show, first professional rendition.
First professional rendition.
That seems like a lot of weight on your shoulders.
It's a moderate amount of weight on my shoulders. It's quite exciting. I do feel like I'm running a marathon at the moment. My heart goes boom, tickety boom. Yeah, the first professional rendition. Licensed by none other than Spike Milligan's daughters, who are the estate holders.
Oh, God.
And not only the first professional rendition of The Goon Show in the city, I've been in contact over the last few years with the Gooncho Preservation Society based in the United Kingdom.
They've heard of you?
They've heard of me. They published an article in one of my lunchtime theatre workshop pieces.
Damn.
We've gone international. But they were quite surprised because the way in which I'm directing it, they say, is very rare. Now, they're an organisation who are dedicated to reporting on reoccurrences of the Gooncho, restagings of it. They've never heard of the way I've done it.
Oh, okay. So how is it the way that you're doing it that is different to... Actually, no, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Getting it?
Okay, sorry. What is... Okay, so you say it's a radio show and things like that, right? It's very famous for the grandparents. But in case you know, people still don't know what's going on, what is the Gooncho actually about in substance, I suppose?
Chaos. Utter anarchy. But I suppose I should start at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. The Gooncho was a radio program that ran from 1951 to 1960. Its key figures were Spike Milligan, Peter Sellers, who you might remember from Dr. Strangelove or the Pink Panther, and Harry Secombe, famous singer extraordinaire. All of the members of the Gooncho fought in the Second World War. Mm-hmm. So that is an important context to that just contextualizes everything.
Right.
The Gooncho, they came from the war slightly bomb happy, is the phrase.
Oh, God.
But you can see how it's impressed upon them. Mm-hmm. They served in the war under chaotic, strange circumstances, but they also served under very strict regimental situations.
Right, right.
So they created a piece of comedy that is now the godfather of alternative comedy. The only rule is there are no rules. Coming from a world that was so strange and chaotic and with a contempt for strict order, they've created something completely bombastic where everyone's blowing up but remaining unharmed.
Are they?
You're looking at me
with this, this glint in your eye,
glint
and
in
I'm
my
scared.
Eye. It's because my actors may not come out unharmed.
Oh, God.
But yes, allow me to over the years, I've struggled, dear listeners, to describe the sheer chaotic energy of the Gooncho. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I have here an excellent passage from Spike Milligan himself. The Gooncho is thinking comedy. Goonism can be described as taking any situation to its illogical conclusion. In fact, most of goon humour relies on the misuse of logic. Allow me to read you an excerpt. Major Bloodnock, intelligence has established that the people attacking us are the enemy. Gentlemen, do the enemy realise that you have this information? Oh no, we've got them fooled. They think we're the enemy.
Oh my God.
situations like that.
Oh no, I love it actually. Like I first saw, personally, I have never heard of the Gooncho. Mm. I only heard it when you brought it up onto Lunchtime Theatre the first time. Mm. But I only had the privilege of going the second time and I was just like, oh my God, absolutely shocked. All the actors, absolutely talented. And I was so confused the entire time. But in such a pleasant way, you know what I mean? Mm. Because I was just like, I don't know what's going on, but also I'm laughing my butt off, I suppose. So I think you made me very happy that day.
That is the skill. That is the skill. There have been over 250 Gooncho scripts, and so I have had to make some very difficult decisions as to the ones to perform.
Right.
And it's always
tough
trying to find the script, because there are scripts that make more sense than others.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yes, I'm very glad to hear that, Asha, because the Fringe Festival is full of a bunch of variety, but sometimes you want to go to see a show and it doesn't make you sad.
No,
instead,
actually true.
Instead, it makes you smile. And smile, it's like a disease. It spreads rapidly. Rapidly throughout the world. Asha smiled. She smiled to someone else. That person smiled to someone else. Uncontrollable.
Yeah, it's a pandemic.
It's COVID all over again.
Oh, God. I'm scared.
Control yourself, Asha.
Okay, wait. I've never heard anyone describe a smile as a disease before, so I guess that just tickled my fancy.
Yes.
But I suppose, the... the peculiarity of this whole thing is what makes it so charming, right?
Yeah.
You said you this is the first professional rendition, right? When did you decide, actually, I want to put it into the French Festival? I want more people to be infected by smiles.
There's two answers to this question. One is comically simple, and the other is extraordinarily long-winded.
The
simple answer is someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Oh, would you like to put this on Alan Hoare?" And I dropped to my knees. The second more long-winded answer is that in the year of our Lord 2022, I listened to the dreaded batter pudding hurler of Bexhill on Sea on the record player while I was doing some work, and I laughed my socks off. And I said to my parents, "What is this strange program that you've put on? Is this some sort of modern comedy?" But no. From the 1950s, still making us laugh to get laughed today. And just to give listeners who may be still confused but enjoying themselves a better idea of the genre of comedy, you're probably all very familiar with the famous old lady voice from Monty Python. "He's been very naughty boy. He's been a very naughty boy." That is the clearest way in which you can tell Monty Python was inspired by The Goon Show, because that's what the old lady sounded like in The Goon Show.
I see.
And Monty Python was in the 60s and the 70s, not the 50s.
Right. Okay. So when you first had that like reaction with like your parents like sitting you down like, "Son, we're about to tell you like a legend."
Yeah, they sat me down. They had the talk. Yeah,
and I bet you just felt so... A lot of interesting things that...
Yes, exactly, you know. The goons.
Wait, no, I'm supposed to be serious. Harry, yes. No one's ever broken my composure the way that you do. Okay, serious time now. Okay, so in the preparation for French, how has that been going? You described it as a marathon, right? How are you not, like, you know, dead or, like, you know, sprinting and, like, panting for breath?
Well, the answer to that is basically my philosophy for life and everything. Mm-hmm. When I was a young little scamp, little nipper back in the day, I was never at the front of the running race, but I took great pride in the fact that while other people made great distances, got tired, and then started walking for the entire distance of the race, I would be running.
Right.
I would just keep on plodding, keep on plodding. It's surely... Slowly but surely, that's my philosophy. You start, you keep going, you run yourself ragged, and you feel proud for it.
That's awesome.
Yes, I love that.
When you said you kept prodding, kept plodding, I kept thinking, like, just keep swimming.
Yes.
Yeah. So who are these lovely actors, a part of your production?
Who are these lovely actors? They are my delightful gallery of idiots. They are an incredible bunch. So we shall start from the very top. We have... Connor Broadhead, the master of improv. I met Broadhead at the start of my university time. Mm-hmm. They stole my phone and took lots of pictures on it, and I knew from that day I had to put him through the ringer. But no, seriously, Broadhead is an... In our first year of university studies together, we did improv, and Broadhead is an incredible slapstick performer, an incredible improv performer, a semi-finalist for Theatre Sports in 2022 and 2021.
Wow,
that are the feathers in his cap, larger feathers than mine. He's incredible. He is depicting Ned Segoon in The Goon Show. Ned Segoon is the lovable British idiot and hero always, who is the main character in The Goon Show.
Oh, okay.
Then we have the incredible Lily Lindley, who plays such lovable doofuses as Eccles, Mad Dan Eccles, who was made Minister of the Crown until the printing error was discovered.
Oh, okay.
They also play such incredible characters as Old Lady Minnie Bannister, Spinster of the Parish.
These names are just getting to me.
Yes, yes. Then, of course, we've got Oisin Benn. While I met the lovely Lily and Broadhead in my theatre classes, Oisin I met when I was trying to go for Impresaurus. Oisin is just incredible.
Yes.
Oisin plays Blue Bottle, this energetic little schoolboy who is always being truant 24/7, and the fat Major Bloodknock, who actually is a sovereign man. He's got his own nation. His national anthem is "Open your wallets and repeat after me: help yourself."
Quite a strong character.
It's been remarked of Oisin that he is just Blue Bottle. It has been remarked of Lily Lindley that they are just Eccles, of Ned Segoon that they are just, of Broadhead that they are just Segoon. In rehearsals, I shall accidentally just call them Eccles. They have taken on these characters and made them their own. And of course, my dear listeners, we have a new challenger approaching. We have a new actor, the one and only Sam Kelly.
Sam Kelly? Wait, yes. Really?
Yes.
So why are you saying that?
Yes. Sam Kelly is joining us, playing the browbeaten BBC announcer Wallace Greenslade, the suave cutthroat Hercules Grytype Thine, and the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Ooh. Okay. No, I'm I'm recalling back everything from when I watched it, right?
Yeah.
All the actors were so lively on stage. It was so dynamic. And the way they interact with each other is just so full of, like, is tomfoolery the right word?
It is the right word. It is absolutely the right word.
But I do have to say, like, personally, like, the star to me was, like, Lily Lindley. Like,
yeah.
They were just absolutely, like, every time they were on stage, I would be, like, tears streaming down my face laughing. I don't know, the way it's all encapsulated, and I'm just like, I cannot wait to see it again. And anyone listening, please, please, please do not miss out because it's, as Harry has said spectacularly, it's just filled with chaos and gorgeous mischief, I'd say.
Exactly. We get up to nothing but wrong nuns. Wrong stuff.
So you say that the society said that your directing was unique and like how they haven't seen it in a very long time.
Yeah.
Was that in a positive sentiment? Oh,
absolutely positive. Well, they haven't seen the show themselves, so I suppose they can't give it a star-studded review. But to just clarify what they meant about a unique rendition, when the Goon Show is typically staged, it's typically just staged as a live mic script read. So you'd have four people in suits that go up to four mics that have a script in hand. Mm-hmm. They would do the voices. They would perhaps gesticulate, but they wouldn't move much. It would essentially just be a script read.
Right.
That's the typical. Mine is the unique. I have struggled for many years thinking about how exactly you should stage the Goon Show, because as said, it's thinking comedy. Mm-hmm. There is a power in the radio and the voice where I can say that I'm speaking to you from the depths of hell, and the people listening shall imagine it quite vividly because they fill that in. So how do you put that on stage, especially in a show where they scale mountains and realize it's hollow, where they have international Christmas puddings that are strategically bombed onto cities? How do you depict people exploding and being sent flying like Team Rocket? Well, dear listener, the unique way in which I do it is I have staged it as if it is the studio in which the goons are performing. So the studio has live microphones. Those live microphones are for the quote-unquote radio performance, but the goons did do live studio performances for an audience. The laughter you hear in the recordings on YouTube is not pre-recorded. So I get to have the world of a recording studio, but I get the actors to muck around within it because the people who played the goons were slightly crazy. They are the default artists. They are the first artist.
Right.
They are just the Adam and Eve of artists.
Right. So basically, whatever, when you think about like a like an artist, it's the stereotype from back then, huh?
Genius, manic, depressive. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say it a bit differently.
Yeah. No. They had their high ups and lows. They were nutters, basically. there are stories of the actors walking through windows and showing. I think Peter Sellers got a knock on the door at three in the morning. He opened the door. There was Spike Milligan stark naked with a cigarette, and he just started cackling maniacally and prancing down the street.
Oh my gosh. Only geniuses
like that could come up with this show.
I suppose, yes.
But yes, so the space is a recording studio with the actors within it. Mm-hmm. You've got Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe. My actors are playing actors.
Right. And those actors
are doing silly things that can allow you to picture the imagination of it all. Mm-hmm. Here's an example. Asha was speaking of the tears that were brought to her eye by Lily Lindley. That is because you would have at a microphone at the front, which is quote unquote on stage, mm-hmm. you would have lovely Grytype counting their money and going, I've got all the money, do-do-do-do-do. And then at the background, you saw Lindley turn a corner and start walking up to the microphone going, I talk to the trees, that's why they put me away. So you can imagine that they are in a forest or wherever, that he is nearer to, say, the camera of the audience, and in the distance, Lindley is approaching. You can imagine that, but I don't necessarily need to have complicated set pieces, which would be impossible. Their imagination.
Yeah, that's a full sentence. Their imagination, full stop.
Full stop. It would strain the budgets of Broadway.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I can just think about it. It kind of reminds me of like, you know, like in a Dr. Seuss book, like the way they do the like impossible stuff, but the way it just flows down so nicely in like a sort of magical way. If we could do our props like and set like that, magic.
Exactly.
Dr. Seuss of reality. But we're going to take a wee short break. And you recommended the, what is it called?
The Ying Tong song.
Yes. Now, what is that? It's an interesting name. Do give an explanation.
Well, of course, the Goons were famously more famous than the Beatles. But in order to prove that, they had to do a Beatles-type song. A boy band song. Right. So they have done the Ying Tong song. Enjoy.
Okay.
There's a song that I recall my mother sang to me. She sang it as she tucked me in when I was 93.
Mind it on mine, who was that bum?
Ying tang, ying tang, ying tang, ying tang, ying tang, ying tang, ying tang.
Keep that up, keep up,
keep up,
keep
up,
keep
up,
on the bump. Ying tong, ying tong, ying tong, ying tong, ying tong, in the lamp, was he gone, lad? Ying tong, ying tong, ying tong, in the lamp,
Lamp!
Ying tong!
Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed that chaos. Harry, I do have to say, I love every time you laugh, you just, it's so maniacal.
Exactly.
Like an evil genius.
Exactly. Well, considering that I am in the studio in a straitjacket, I just needed to give a good impression. needed to convey that to the audience.
No. Speaking of, you said that the actors themselves were, you know, a little bit of nutters, right? So the fact that you are, you know, bringing this onto the stage professionally and things like that, would you describe yourself as a wee bit of a nutter?
Yes.
And the actors?
Any more questions?
Yes. Next. Thank you. Next.
Yes. Yes, I would. I would describe them as total loonies. I think the most magical thing, Asha, that does, I'm tears to my eyes, it has been, For clarity, we've referenced it a few times. Mm-hmm. This will be the third Goon Show script that, well, I'm directing two scripts that's worth coming back to.
Right.
While this is a big moment for Dunedin, this is a great prestigious moment where a great cultural icon shall be performed. This isn't the first time I have directed the Goon Show.
Right.
I directed the dreaded batter pudding hurler of Bexhill-on-Sea in 2024, and I directed Foiled by President Fred in 2025, just last year. The reason I say those aren't professional performances mm-hmm. is because they were lunchtime theatre workshop performances that have helped my vision come to be.
Right.
And most of my actors also featured in those. And you can tell they're nutters because on the very first show, they just started incorporating phrases from the show into their everyday vernacular. And it's just... You've never seen it before. It's magical.
They're like naturals.
They are absolutely naturals. They've got it in their bones.
It's like, yeah, no, when they're born, like before their first word, like, you know, it's like a mum or something like that, right? No, their first bit of knowledge that was like biblically bestowed upon them was the Goon Show. I am born to be this role.
It's worse than that, Asha.
Oh,
it wasn't on birth. It was divine inspiration later in life, and now they can't get away from it.
It's just fated to be that way.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. Like the bubonic plague.
You're so quick with it. Like, I don't know how to react.
Neither do I.
Okay, so this is your third time directing it, as you say.
Yeah.
How does your approach this time differ from the two workshops that you've done last time that you think would improve?
My main difference in approach is that I'm changing my set design ever so slightly.
Is it still in Allen Hall?
It's still in Allen Hall,
right.
Yeah. But my set design is transforming again.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to put into words how my approach is changing, primarily because, as anyone who will know who starts a profession or a skill, every time you do it, you do learn a new way of doing it.
That is true.
I think the main... lovely challenge is to have a new cast member. I think it would have been incredibly boring if I had the same cast because now I have to re-explain it and recreate it.
Right.
And I get asked very challenging, difficult questions, and they help. They help a lot.
That's great.
Yeah.
You kind of want to, I suppose, spice things up, right?
Mm.
So keep enough of the familiarity while also bringing something new. Because when you're, I think, like, you know, when, correct me if I'm wrong, of course, when you're explaining all this to Sam Kelly,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
you might, you know, come across a new revelation, you know, a new way of thinking, a new way of approaching this.
Precisely. Precisely. No, you're absolutely right. Only recently, because of the of the questions fielded by the lovely Sam Kelly, who is essentially my surrogate audience, uninitiated to the show. Previously, I've imagined the show as if you've got the room of the recording studio, much like the one we are in now. We can't see the audience, but the wall has been broken down so the audience can see in.
Right.
That is how I've been doing it previously. This time, we can see the audience can see us. Right. It is the shared space, and that makes a lot more sense to explain why we do certain visual stuff.
Right.
Because that's the fun of the Goon Show. That's the fun and the challenge. It is an audio-only bit of comedy. So I, as the director, am not just taking the script and say, redo it. Yes. I'm not just repeating a movie where you just copy it, lazily copy it. I've got to fill in the whole visual space of these scripts.
That sounds like a lot of like work. And but you seem to have like, you know, dived into it like quite eagerly.
Oh, it's work in the same way I'm sure going for a competitive swimming race is work for someone who's a competitive swimmer. It's work. It's hard work, but you get your motor going, don't you?
For sure, 100%. So I wanted to ask, because you guys have done this, like your actors remain the same. So you guys are obviously very close and you sort of know how each other work at this point. How was it like bringing in a new cast member into it? Like how did Sam react to, you know, being in a... I suppose joining a well-oiled machine. You're laughing like crazy right now, so I suppose there's a story.
Remarkably
there.
Easy.
Oh, really?
Sam is incredible. It is worth remembering that Sam Kelly is capping show royalty.
That is true.
So while I do have to remind him on occasions that this is the sort of show where you wouldn't swear or say anything else or strike certain salutes. He has been remarkable how easily he's morphed in to the show. We are now one gestalt consciousness. He's also started quoting the show. It's been just so special to see those little bits of humor that the bits that he think are especially funny.
Right.
Sam is a lovely consummate professional, but occasionally he'll give himself the luxury of a weak chuckle at a line here or there.
When you brought everyone to the first ever like rendition of it, right?
Yeah.
Who was the first person you approached first when it came to
the first person I approached?
I think, assuming it was Broadhead.
I think you'd have to say both Broadhead and Lindley, to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
They're essentially you could say they're my co-founders. They're co-founders in principle. I do feel very strongly about trying to keep the backstage and the onstage work as separate as possible.
Yeah.
But I first directed Broadhead and Lindley in my earlier work, Break a Leg, at the Globe Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
They were two people who I tapped on the shoulder and said, would you like to come along and be big brothers and sisters to my younger castmates? And that went well in the creative angle.
That's
so
good.
I decided, hey, I could take them on to the Goon Show. And they've been with me ever since. They can't get out.
Oh, right. So you've trapped them into your basement.
Yeah, exactly. They're actually handcuffed to me right now.
Yeah, I can see them. Are you okay? Shouldn't you, like, loosen that up a little bit?
Help me!
God, this is why I love having, like, a fellow, like, theatre person into the studio, because it's just so dynamic in here.
But I expect, Asha, you want to know all about the fact that we are doing a double bill.
Oh.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Tell you more. We're doing two shows. We are doing... So, as I've done two previous Goon Show scripts, I thought, you know, I'm a salesman at heart. I look to the customer across from me and I say, for you, my little boy, two for one. For the average price which you will pay for the average show in the Fringe Festival, you will get two Goon Show scripts. So an hour... Goon Show scripts are about half an hour long. So I thought I'd done two already. I'm quite confident in this area.
Yeah.
I've got a wonderful cast.
And they're all familiar.
Why do a 30-minute show when I can do two 30-minute scripts?
Yeah.
So I have for you the dreaded batter pudding hurler of Bexhill-on-Sea. Famous. World famous. And as our double bill, as our B act, Ye Bandit of Sherwood Forest.
Ooh.
Yes. It's our pantomime.
I'm so excited. So how many shows do you have, and what are the dates?
I have 3 shows. They're in the first weekend of the Fringe Festival, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. The 13th and the 14th.
Of March, by the way.
Of March, yes. Our evening shows. Mm-hmm. And the 15th is a lovely 2 p.m. after church matinee show. Bring your grandparents, because they'll have been raised on the stuff.
Oh yeah. I'll,
come yourself,
love it.
Because it's great fun. Bring all the little ones as well, because Spike Milligan wrote, as I said, Bad Jelly the Witch. And he also wrote all 250 Goon Show scripts.
That's actually insane. Like, I can imagine him genuinely being like an absolute nutter, as you say.
Exactly.
Just hearing the stories about it, you know what I mean? But I actually remember when I went to watch it for Lunchtime Theatre last year, because I went to a few Lunchtime Theatres, but your show was the only show where I saw like in the audience, like a lot more of like the older like generation
yes.
coming in. I saw a dad come in with like 3 kids. I was just like, oh my God, this is so nice. Like, it just, I don't know. It felt less like a university thing and more of a, oh, this is a show I'm going to with the Dunedin public.
It is a lovely generational thing. And that's something I really wanted to emphasize, that that's a special point of interest that I think I should talk about on OAR, on Otago Access Radio, mm-hmm. that this is important for the culture of Dunedin.
Right.
And that's not just
that Dunedin pride.
Dunedin pride. It's not, and that's not some self-indulgent, arrogant director thing. It's our unique place in the world. Mm-hmm. When you go to the Fringe Festival, you'll see a lot of shows that are culturally angled towards our colonial past, and,
right.
and that's an important a place there. But this is another angle that I think really brings together the whole. Someone once said that New Zealand is a multicultural country in a bicultural framework, that we've got that union of peoples.
Right.
Spike Milligan's works are here because of that link between New Zealand and the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that unique thing where it's over there, but it's not over there.
Yeah.
It's here. Our parents were raised on it, who were born here. Bad Jelly the Witch is famous here. It's just, there is that Dunedin pride where you take ownership of it. It's that special thing that something world famous in the United Kingdom is now being done here in Dunedin in a way that's never been done in the United Kingdom.
That's so cool, bro. Mm. Like, the way you explain that, like, I'm obviously not from Dunedin, but I've lived here long enough that I started to feel like, oh, yeah. That Dunedin pride.
Because I've now got the irresistible urge to name drop. Someone called, what's it, Friendly Geordies, a famous YouTuber in Australia who I'm quite a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a comedy round slightly later than the Fringe Festival.
Right.
And sometimes comedians need to unlearn some tricks, because he was on a reel going, hey, Dunedin, how is it? Sucks, huh? You've got terrible weather. Well, I'm coming down to come see my show. And I was like, what are you doing?
It's like unoriginal.
What is, it's like, who laughs when you come to a city to make fun of that city?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember there was another political event where someone said, I don't like Invercargill. And then like 3 people in the audience from Invercargill stood up. There's an extent to which we go outside, it's Dunedin, and we love it, and we want to bring these excellent cultural icons here.
Oh, God, I love it. God, you're so good at this.
It can be done here, everything.
At this point, you should just, like, take my job. Switch it around.
Maybe I have already.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm the one in the straitjacket now. What happened?
Exactly.
We switched seats.
Magic. I have a very good friend from high school, because I'm also not technically local here. I've lived here throughout high school. I know. Incredible.
Shocker.
And they moved to Wellington for their artistic stuff,
yes.
which everyone goes, oh, Dunedin, terrible art. Oh, Wellington, so much better. But he came back and he said, Dunedin's better.
Oh.
Because there's an extent to which we don't have professional theatre venues anymore now that lovely space is gone. But he said there's an extent to which we have all the cards stacked against us, but we persist.
Oh, I love
we
that.
Persist. We persist. Whereas in Wellington, he said there was a bit of a scramble to the top, or a bit of laziness because they have it all. So, but it's hard to get in, and it's a bit competitive, and it's all a bit of a scramble to the top. But here,
like kind of like not prestigious, pretentious.
Yeah. That's his words, not mine. But here, despite it all, we persist, and that's a bit of southern grit that I think that fills our city with a bit of joy come fringe season.
Oh, that's so cool, bro. Okay, so fringe season, I suppose when it comes to marketing and things like that, you guys all do it yourself. How do you get the word out, other than, of course?
How do I get the word out? I get the word out on my Facebook and Instagram account, Silly Billy Productions. Silly Billy Productions is not your newfangled production company. It's not a once and done. It's been running for, this will be its second year of running. It ran to promote Foiled by President Fred last year. It does it all, people. Tired of adverts, tired of getting things pushed in your face. Well, last year we produced some video sketches for your entertainment.
Yeah, I saw
for
that.
Your viewing pleasure, to just give you a taste and put our money where our mouth is and say we can really do it. Come and watch us.
That was great. You guys should definitely check that out, because if you're still, even after all this, still unsure, like, oh, I don't really know if that's sort of my thing, go to the Instagram, see the reels that they've done.
Yeah.
Dude, it's so funny, and that's just a snippet of the amazingness that we'll see in the Fringe.
I wonder if I should do any more this year.
You should. Yes.
Yeah.
Next.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, sure. Of course you haven't thought of that, Harry. I haven't seen your like notebooks filled with scribbles of ideas and things like that.
I swear, that's my Italian language class, I swear.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I could not possibly have a single thought. I mean, listen here, dear listeners, to how Spike Milligan defined a goon. You are a goon if you have a one-cell brain. You are a goon if anything but not the basically simple puzzles you. You are a goon if you have four-dimensional thinking.
And
you're a little bit bomb happy. You just tend to be sent flying through the sky, screaming, "Ah, I've been deaded!
I've been deaded!" I'm taking that.
You should.
So, where did you get that quote from? I spy a little book. Over
oh
there.
goodness! I'm doing this all off the cuff. Out there. Yeah. So there are a variety of places to get this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, despite my silliness, I have done lots of lovely research. There's lots done on the subject.
It shows. So you're very well spoken.
So what's it? Spike Milligan published 3 script books for various shows. The third one is Lost Shows. All of the Goon shows, the entire rostrum, including some that are a little bit hard to hear, are on YouTube for your listening pleasure. So I have listened to a few of those when I went for a walk, just to try and make up my mind to decide. And there are lovely books like this, The Goon Show Companion, A History and Goonography. So popular was the show, this was published only 16 years after the show concluded. And it has a foreword from several of the lovely, lovely actors. Let us see.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, so this is from Peter Sellers. My name is Peter Sellers. I am a human being. Several years ago, I took part in the BBC Radio Goon Shows. I was called upon to produce humorous sounds and voices, which I did to the best of my ability. 2 gentlemen appearing in the same show were named S. Milligan and H. Seacombe. There was also a Peruvian intelligence officer, Michael Bentine. I was paid certain monies for my appearances. They were very small. When I visited Major Grafton's public house in Victoria, I was 5 years old. I am now 92 and still enjoy a good laugh.
Oh, no, I love that. What the freak? Sorry.
So you're absolutely right. I think there's we talk about genealogies and art. Mm-hmm. You could say the Goon Show inspired such things as Monty Python, most comedy that relates to a situation where you hear a door open and close and the person you didn't think has actually left the room.
Right. Oh, yes.
Those comic gags like that, mm-hmm. alternative comedy, surreal comedy that purposefully doesn't make sense.
Right.
But you could also say there's a little bit of the little man who goes to the library and reads books for the kiddies. That's definitely a streak with Spike Milligan, like you said about those lovely picture books that you mentioned about earlier. Yeah.
Yeah.
there's a relation between mm-hmm. things like yeah. The Goon Show, Monty Python, Bad Jelly the Witch. They're all marching together, one great big family.
And that's very sweet. Speaking of like family, right? Mm. I do, and I'm speaking directly to the listeners here, do come with your grandparents, do come with your parents, your little siblings or whatever. This is definitely a family show that everyone will enjoy, even if you don't have, like, you know, the knowledge of, like, the legend that is the Goon Show. Mm. You'll still have a good laugh, because when I went, I had no idea what was going on. Came out, like I said, with tears streaming down my cheeks. And then your parents will and grandparents will probably have, like, a flash to the past.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's good. Goodness gracious me. Every generation hears the Goon Show and thinks something different, don't they?
That is
true. Don't they? We shan't elaborate on that. But it's remarkable, yep. Usher. To a man and woman, every older person, the age your high school teacher was, I'll say Spike Milligan's Goon Show, and they shall just their mouth shall go so wide they explode instantly. They were raised on this sort of stuff.
They're out flying in the sky.
Oh,
they've been deaded.
But yeah. I said this last year, but it's worth saying again. It can get a little bit morbid when you talk about the roots that these characters had in the Goon Show, mm-hmm. where you can imagine bombs are dropping and someone's going a bit manic and they're smiling and they've got a tin on their head and they're banging it and stuff.
Yeah.
But the 1950s was a period in which people older than us that might still be around or had parents who lived around, they lived through. Yeah. And we take certain things for granted. Back then, you didn't have anything. When I'm doing my set design, I'm not being picky. I'm not saying I need things from the 1950s because people would not have thrown things away. The 1930s, yeah. Great Depression. The 1940s, World War II. The 1950s, the aftermath of all that.
Yeah.
We live in quite traumatic times as well. We've been talking about things like World War III for it seems like mm-hmm. too long,
uh-huh.
and we had the Cold War as well. It's all been higgledy-piggledy, but there's something for everyone in the Goon Show. The Goon Show isn't old because it speaks to a modern concern. Those people fought in the Second World War. They fought in Italy. They fought the Nazis, yep. and they came out of that extremely traumatic thing, and they got in a group and decided, let's make people laugh. Let's not commiserate and wail and wallow in poverty. Mm-hmm. Let's, on a shoestring and a budget, the BBC had no money.
Yeah.
They just thought, let's spread some cheer. And I think in our modern times, which is fraught financially and politically, we need something that's concerned solely with the proliferation of weapons such as laughter.
Now that is an amazing note to end it on. Thank you so much, Harry, for coming onto the show. That is an amazing, amazing message to be sending to our audience today. Would you like to say any like last words on like, again, reminding where to find what your Instagram tag is, where to find the show and everything like that?
Yeah. So the show shall be live by time of listening on the Fringe Festival website. So you'll Google Fringe Fest 2026. The program shall come up. You shall Google Goon Show. You shall buy all the tickets. And there is also my social media handles like Silly Billy Productions on Facebook and Instagram, which shall have continual updates for your viewing pleasure as I busk endlessly to entertain you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Harry. As usual, guys, please pay attention to what's going on in the news. As Harry has said, right now it's kind of very difficult times for us. Please boycott Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Disney, Starbucks. Not only is there a genocide going on in Palestine, it's happening in Sudan, in Congo, and it's just a lot of people are going through a really tough time. Free Iran as well. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
Toodaloo.
Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amma Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.